Flora and Ulysses, Chapter 56, Kidnapped. She woke with a start. The house was incredibly dark, so dark that Flora wondered if she'd gone temporarily blind. Ulysses, she said. She sat up and stared in the direction of the door. Slowly, the rectangular outline of it appeared, and then she could see that it was ajar. Ulysses, she said again. She got out of bed and went down the darkened stairs and past the little shepherdess. You stupid lamp, she said. She made her way into the kitchen. It was empty. The typewriter was unmanned or unsquirreled. Ulysses, Flora said. She walked over to the typewriter and saw a piece of paper going white in the dim light. Uh-oh, she said. She leaned in close. She squinted. Dear Flora, I am terribly fond of you, but I hear the call of the wild, and I must return to my natural habitat. Thank you for the macaroni and cheese. Yours, Mr. Squirrel. Mr. Squirrel? Call of the wild? Terribly fond? It was the biggest lie that Flora had ever read in her life. It didn't look like Ulysses had written it at all. Only at the very end did the truth appear. Two letters, F and L. That was Ulysses, she knew, trying to type her name one last time, trying to tell her that he loved her. I love you too, she whispered to the paper. Then she looked around the kitchen. What kind of cynic was she, whispering I love you to a squirrel who wasn't even there? But she did love him. She loved his whiskers, she loved his words, she loved his happiness, his little head, his determined heart, his nutty breath. She loved how beautiful he looked when he flew. She felt her heart seize up. Why hadn't she told him that? She should have said those words to him. But that didn't matter now. What mattered was finding him. Flora hadn't been reading The Criminal Element for 2 solid years for nothing. She knew what was going on. The squirrel had been kidnapped by her mother. She took a deep breath. She considered what to do, what action to take. In the event of a true and genuine emergency, an absolute and undeniable crime, the authorities must be notified immediately, said the criminal element. Flora was certain that this was true and genuine emergency. Was a true and genuine emergency, an absolute and undeniable crime. Still, it didn't seem like a good idea to notify authorities. If she called the police, what would she say? My mother kidnapped my squirrel? The criminal element. If for some reason the authorities are not accessible to you, then you must seek help in other quarters. Whom do you trust? Whom do you know to be safe, be a safe port in a storm? Flora suddenly remembered her dream, how warm William Spiver's hand had felt in her own. She blushed. Whom did she trust? Good grief. She trusted William Spiver. Chapter 57. Tootie to the Rescue. It was 2:20 a.m. The grass was heavy with dew. Flora was picking her way through the darkness. She was breathing heavily because she was carrying Marianne in her arms. And Marianne, for all her pink cheeks and delicate features and excess of stupid frilliness, was incredibly heavy. Talk about stout, thought Flora. The criminal element. Can one reason with a criminal? This is debatable. But it is true that the rules of nursery school are often in good effect in the criminal world. What do we mean by this? We mean that if the criminal has something you want, then you must have something he wants. Only then is it possible for some kind of discussion to begin. There was nothing and no one that Flora's mother loved more than the lamp. Together, Flora and William Spiver would find her mother. They would offer to exchange the little shepherdess for the squirrel. And then all would be well. Or something. That was Flora's plan. But first she had to find William Spiver, and she didn't think it would be a good idea to ring Tuta's doorbell at 2:20 a.m. William Spiver, said Flora. Here she was, standing in the dark, holding an unlit lamp, and hoping that a temporarily blind boy would hear her call, his name and help, and come help her rescue her squirrel. A squirrel who, for a superhero, sure did seem to need a lot of rescuing. Things were pretty grim. "William Spiver," she said again. "William Spiver." And then, without really intending to, she started saying William Spiver's name over and over, louder and louder. "William Spiver, William Spiver, William Spiver, William Spiver, William Spiver, William Spiver." There was no way he would be able to hear her, of course. She knew that, but she couldn't make herself stop. She just stupidly, idiotically, hopefully, kept saying his name. For a bell. "William Spiver, William Spiver, William Spiver." For a bell. "William Spiver, William Spiver, William Spiver." For a bell. There he was, standing at a darkened window, conjured apparently by her need and her desperation and her words. William Spiver. Or at least the shadow of William Spiver. "Oh," said Fora, "hello." "Yes, hello to you, too," said William Spiver. "How lovely of you to visit in the middle of the night." "There's been an emergency," said Fora. "Right," said William Spiver. "Just let me put on my bathrobe." Fora felt a familiar prick of irritation. "It's an emergency, William Spiver. There's no time to waste. Forget about your bathrobe." "I'll just put on my bathrobe," said William Spiver, as if she hadn't said anything at all. "And I'll be right there. Wherever there is." It is shockingly difficult to locate even the most obvious things when one is temporarily blind. The world is very hard to navigate when you can't see. Although, to be perfectly frank, I had trouble navigating the world even before the advent of the blindness. I've never been what you would call coordinated or spatially intelligent. It's not even that I bump into things. It's more that things leap out of nowhere and bump into me. My mother says that this is because I live in my head as opposed to living in the world. But I ask you, don't we all live in our heads? Where else could we possibly exist? Our brains are the universe. Don't you think that's true, Fora Bell? "I said it's an emergency!" "Well then, I'll just put on my bathrobe and we'll sort it all out." Fora put Marianne down on the ground. She looked around wildly in the darkness. What was she looking for? She didn't know. Maybe a stick that she could use to hit William Spiver over the head? Fora Bell! "Ulysses is gone!" she screamed. "My mother kidnapped him! I think my mother is possessed! I think she might even hurt him!" "Do not cry," she told herself. "Do not cry. Do not hope. Do not cry. Just observe." "Shh," said William Spiver. "It's okay, Fora Bell. I'll help you. We'll find him." And then the light in William Spiver's room came on, and Tootie said, "What in the world are you doing, William?" "Looking for my bathrobe?" "Tootie to the rescue!" The words appeared above Tootie's head in a neon kind of brightness. "Tootie," shouted Fora, "it's an emergency. My mother has kidnapped the squirrel." "Fora?" said Tootie. She stuck her head out of the window. "Why do you have that awful lamp?" "It's complicated," said Fora. "Again with the lamp?" said William Spiver. "What in the world is the meaning of the lamp?" "My mother loves the lamp," said Fora. "I'm holding it hostage." "Desperate times call for desperate measures," said Tootie. "That's right," said Fora. "It's an emergency." "I'll just get my purse," said Tootie. Chapter 58. Nothing Personal. It was dark. Very, very dark. And there was the smell of smoke. Fora's mother had him in a sack, and the sack was flung over her back. And she was walking somewhere, and it was very, very dark. At the last minute, Fora's mother had picked up the piece of paper with his poem on it and thrown it into the sack with him. Was this meant as a kindness? Was she mocking him? Or was she merely covering her tracks? The squirrel did not know, but he held the crumpled ball of paper to his chest and tried to comfort himself. He thought, "Worse things have happened to me." He tried to think of what they were. There was a time the pickup truck had run over his tail. That had hurt very much. There was also the incident with the BB gun, and the teddy bear, and the garden hose, and the slingshot, the bow and rubber arrow. But everything that had happened before paled in comparison to this. There was so much more to lose now. Flora, and her round and lovable head. Cheese puffs, poetry, giant donuts. Shoot, he was going to leave the world without ever having tried a giant donut. And Tootie. Tootie had said that she was going to read poetry out loud to him. That would never happen now either. It was very dark in the sock. It was very dark everywhere. I'm going to die, thought the squirrel. He hugged his poem closer, and the paper crackled and sighed. This is nothing personal, Mr. Squirrel, said Flora's mother. Ulysses held himself very still. He found this sentiment difficult to believe. It really has nothing to do with you, said Flora's mother. It's about Flora, Flora Bell. She is a strange child, and the world is not kind to the strange. She was strange before, and she's stranger now. Now she is walking around with a squirrel on her shoulder, talking to a squirrel, talking to a typing, flying squirrel. Not good, not good at all. Was Flora strange? He supposed so. But what was wrong with that? She was strange in a good way. She was strange in a lovable way. Her heart was so big. It was capacious, just like George Buckman's heart. Do you know what I want? Said Flora's mother. Ulysses couldn't imagine. I want things to be normal. I want a daughter who is happy. I want her to have friends who aren't squirrels. I don't want her to end up unloved and all alone in the world. But it doesn't matter, does it? It does matter, thought Ulysses. It's time to do what needs to be done, said Flora's mother. She stopped walking. Uh-oh, thought Ulysses. Chapter 59, Destination Unknown. Tootie was driving, if that's what she wanted to call it. She didn't have her hands at 10 o'clock or 2. She didn't have a hand at any o'clock. Basically, Tootie drove with one finger on the wheel. Flora's father would have been appalled. They were in the front seat, all four of them, Tootie, Marianne, Flora, and William Spire. They were speeding down the road. It was alarming and exhilarating to be going so fast. So what's your plan? So your plan is to effect an exchange, said William Spire. The lamp for the squirrel. Yes, said Flora. But please correct me if I'm wrong. We have no idea where the squirrel and your mother are. Flora hated the phrase, correct me if I'm wrong. In her experience, people only said it when they knew they were right. Ulysses, Tootie shouted out her open window. Ulysses! Flora could see the squirrel's name Ulysses flying out of the car and into the night, a single beautiful word that was immediately swallowed up by the wind and the darkness. Her heart clenched. Why hadn't she told the squirrel she loved him? I hate to be the voice of reason, said William Spiver. Don't be then, said Flora. But here we are, speeding down the road. And we are speeding, aren't we, Great Aunt Tootie? Surely we are exceeding the posted speed limit. I don't see a posted speed limit, said Tootie. She hollered Ulysses' name again. In any case, said William Spiver, it seems that we are going extremely fast, and we are speeding where exactly? We don't know. We are en route to an unknown destination, calling out the name of a missing squirrel. All the while, it doesn't seem one bit rational. Well, what's your idea? Said Flora. What's your plan? We should try to think where your mother would have taken him. We should be logical, methodical, and scientific. Ulysses! Shouted Tootie. Ulysses! Screamed Flora. Saying his name won't make him appear, said William Spiver. But saying William Spiver's name over and over had made him appear. This Flora knew, from terrible things can happen to you. Was magical thinking or mental causation? According to terrible things, it was a dangerous way to think. It was dangerous to allow yourself to believe what you said directly influenced the universe. But sometimes it did, didn't it? Do not hope, Flora thought. But she couldn't help it. She did hope. She was hoping. She had been hoping all along. Ulysses! She shouted. The car slowed down. What now? Said William Spiver. Have we spotted something squirrel-related? Tootie used a single finger to steer the car to the side of the road. Let me guess, said William Spiver as they coasted to a stop. We've run out of gas. We've run out of gas, said Tootie. Oh, the symbolism, said William Spiver. Why, Flora wondered, had she ever thought that William Spiver would be able to help her? Why had she thought of him as her safe port in a storm? Was it because he had held her stupid hand in a stupid dream? Or was it because he never shut up and she couldn't give up on the idea that he might actually say something at some point that was meaningful and helpful? Talk about magical thinking. Where are we? Flora said to Tootie. I'm not entirely certain, said Tootie. Great, said William Spiver. We're lost. Not that we knew where we were going to begin with. We'll have to walk, said Tootie. Obviously, said William Spiver. But walk where?